Sunday. Sci-Fi sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Jill cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, all you firecrackers and Roman candles out there, all you guys with lit fuses and extinguished charges, you've tuned in to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, and co-host Chris Switzer. Chris, how are you doing today?
Very well, my brother. Things are doing very well. How are you?
Very good, very good.
How was your 4th of July? Was it safe and sane, or were you outside lighting off things and running around like a nut?
Yeah, the whole day was kind of just, I was around the house. I really didn't do anything. I hung around the house and did a few projects. And last minute, we went over to Kilowatt Kevin's place because he's up north from me. So they weren't doing much either. They just had some little fireworks and all. And he said, and we haven't seen him. I haven't seen him in months, you know.
Yeah.
So we piled in the car and went over there. And of course, he's on a dead end block. And you know, the guy down the block was really doing a huge, big stuff. And, you know, some of Nassau County's finest rolled down the block, you know, after Kevin and Chris had thrown off a lot of ordnance and put the wet blanket, if you will, on the party. So
yes, the literal.
So we complied. You know, we said, okay, listen, that's duly warned, duly noted, we're done. So, but it was good to see some people, you know, good to see some friends. We haven't seen them in a while.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was nice.
That's good. Yeah, it was the same thing here. It was very quiet. There was no catastrophes. Not many people light up any fireworks on our block, but it was you basically saw the outskirts, which was kind of cool. We sat outside and watched some of that go on. But I do remember in the old days in Brooklyn, remember we used to go a little out of hand, and I had a neighbor next door to me. And she was a nice old woman, and she used to, who's probably my age, I'm the age that she was then. She said to me, whatever you do, do whatever you want, but at 11 o'clock, the hose comes out.
Uh-huh.
That was it. It was the 11 o'clock curfew. You would hear her. She'd go down the driveway. She'd get the hose. She'd start rolling it back. And we'd be like, light everything off you can. Light it all off. Because she was going to douse you at 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
that was going to be it. That was the timeline. And we all put up with it at the time. We were like, okay, fine. That's what Mrs. B wants to do. That's good.
Right.
So he would do it.
Yeah.
That was in the old days. But today, nothing like that, which was kind of cool.
Right. Things aren't the same as they used to be.
We've all learned to wise up. That's for sure. That's for sure. All wising up. What's going on today in the program? What's on the card today, Ray Ray?
Oh, we're going to have a great guest, Chris. This one I know you're going to really love. A couple weeks ago on Playing in Traffic, the show that I do with Lewis Lee on Thursday nights on Crowdcast, Lewis landed a guest, Mr. Mark Methot. And what Mark did is he brought back to life an old car, an old magazine called Cartoons. And it now is in print and digital form. And I reached out to him, and we got Mark coming on with us. Hopefully, if all of our links work, he'll be on with us in about another 10 minutes or so, and we'll learn all about how he rebranded that great brand.
I remember Cartoons from my youth. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I was sorry to see it go, and I'm very impressed that Mark is taking the initiative to revive this in a time where, you know, magazines aren't really so popular nowadays. It's kind of interesting. I'd love to hear the story.
I actually showed him how I have the April 75 and August 75.
Oh, nice.
And I probably have a few more. You know, I've been going through since lockdown. I've been going through old magazines.
Right.
You know, I take a stack of five or six, throw them in the rack in the bathroom, and, you know, as I go through them. And I've been finding some Marty Shore magazines. I just went through a Vet magazine, and I went through a Cars magazine. And
I hope you're shaking all the curly hairs out before you put them away.
I didn't get these from you. These are clean. The ones I got from you were like that. It was kind of interesting and shocking. But, but it was nice reading the Cars because, of course, you know, we know Marty. We've had him on the show many times. We've seen him and had him on the show live even.
Sure.
And there is Joe Oldham writing, you know, and Steve McElrott and you know, the whole crew that they had. Dilbert Farb. I mean, they're all in there. And but it's cool to see it now and read it from the time that it was done, when it was new.
Sure.
And I didn't know these guys, you know, because at that point I was a lot younger. So
right. It's amazing when you're just a reader. It's safe to say that when you're just a reader and you admire the writing styles of some of these authors, and then you have the opportunity to actually speak to them later on in your life, it's almost like they're celebrities, and they still are to me. I mean, they always were. Joe Oldham is completely and the only person that I know you can imitate pretty well. And I know you don't imitate anybody. You have many qualities, sir. One of them is not Rich Little.
Right. That's correct.
You're not the consummate imitator. But you nailed down Joe pretty well.
Anthony Cumia, I'm not. But I tell you, another celebrity associated with this show who is listening now, Mr. Clay Kuhn from Mississippi. He's tuning in today because he's a cartoons fan too. And Clay, if you haven't checked out his stuff, just go to Kuhn Trucking, KOON Trucking. Just look up Kuhn Trucking and you'll find his YouTube videos. He has Diesel Medic, his business, and then he has all of his tool reviews. That's how I found him. And Clay does a lot of good stuff, a lot of great work, and someone that we certainly look up to and emulate for his video.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the man does it. I mean, he has a family and he still can put like 100 hours of work into a week. I don't know how he does it.
I call that a what would you say, a very patient wife.
Yeah.
Very patient kids.
Well, him too. I mean, I know me. My patience runs out after sometimes like 10 minutes. I'm done.
Yeah.
Out of here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you. 100%. I'm with you. It's
right.
I think we talked about it earlier. It's now gotten to the point where I kind of annoy myself. And this week I did.
Did you?
Just by wrenching my back. And I always ask you, because I know you have back issues.
Oh, yeah.
And I always want to know, how do you work on a vehicle sometimes when your back is bothering you?
When it is bothering you, that's a problem because you can really re-injure it, re-hurt it very easily.
Sure can.
So those are the times to opt out and not do something if it's elective. If you have to, you have to.
Yeah.
And then it's a matter of just being very ginger and watching the signs. You know, I can tell with my own back and my leg, I kind of get like a little bit of a pre-warning that it's going to come
yep.
on.
Sure.
And that's when I just back it off and say, okay, let me try another angle of approach. You know, let me try and go under the dashboard ear first this time, you know. Maybe that'll, if I put my foot in the glove box, that might help.
let me take the windshield out.
Yeah. Borrow Mike Sims size 13 and kick it out, right? No, there's no real easy way around that. And I've had that happen where I'll be under, typically it's when I'm under a dash. Actually, though, this week I got to do a job that was very, very specific. Joe had got in touch with me. He told me, you know, Joe's daughter is an engineer. She's in school. She's finished up to be an engineer and very smart girl. And she wants to change the battery cables on the Camry, on the Camry that Joe drives.
Okay.
And I questioned that. This is going back about a month. And I said, well, if she needs any help, let me know. You know, I'm here to help her. So it ends up she tried to do it and realized that the cables went down in the abyss under the airbox and all. She didn't know where they terminated. So smartly, and this is where she's very smart, she reversed what she did, put it back together, and said, okay, let's regroup and see what we're going to do here. So they brought me in and I loaded up my bags of tools and I shot over there during the week and I did the job. you know, and I kind of showed her, like, you know, so her and her and Joe's wife were, when they were looking, that I had half the car out, you know, the battery tray, yeah, gearbox, all that stuff. She says, wow, you had to take all that out? I said, you know, I probably could have worked around it, but I'm a fan of getting stuff out of my way, you know?
Yes.
So, and I use it as a teaching moment by telling her, you have the book smarts, and you know, on a diagram or a piece of paper or a schematic, you could follow what this is. But you see now, when you get under the hood of a car that has, now it's got leaves, and it's got grease, it's got dirt, it's just got parts that you don't know what they are.
Sure.
To make that transition is, now you're in the world of auto mechanics, and it doesn't always, and this is like we've always talked about, who the hell designed this car? Some freaking engineer, right? So I showed her that, yeah, this is the stuff that we do. You have to kind of, you just take stuff out of your way, and you do have to know, you know, there was a couple sensors had to be unclipped. I said, this is, you know, now we're dealing with a 1992 vehicle, so anything can break at any moment, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So we got the job done, and I think she got a lot out of it, and I enjoyed, you know, teaching, showing her what to do and all, and everybody was happy. But yeah, it's, as I was leaning over the fender, I felt my right side of my low back just start to get that pang.
Right,
it's like a pushing, kind of like almost like a needly kind of thing.
Yep.
And I know, like, okay, I can stand in this position for a while. I can get through it. You know, if I can stand up a little, it'll go away. But I knew that wasn't a red flag. That was like a yellow flag for me. If it gets worse, it'll start to spasm. And then I know, red flag, back up.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I like I said, you just learn those little symbols, the symptoms, and you deal with them. So
I got caught off guard this week because I felt that, like you say, that kind of the yellow flag. I felt that little push, like you talked about and described very well. And then all of a sudden it went from that to full-blown stop, like literally full-blown red flag, a lot of muscle spasms, a lot of lack of movement. And I'm like, the hardest part is you have stuff to do. There's things that need to be done, right, and you're staring at it because you can't bend.
Right.
That's been the hard part. So today is going to be my first foray after our Fine Upstanding program, because I had a little bit of a setback in the brake issue on the LeBaron.
Oh, really?
Doing the driver's side, I went to, I checked the seals on the wheel cylinder, and it's a drum affair with shoe brakes, the older style. And I went and peeled back the rubber ends, the rubber caps,
the dust boots.
I peeled it back and,
yeah,
I got a spray of brake fluid.
Nice.
So I'm like, yeah, exactly. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, man. So now I have to change the wheel cylinders because I'm not going to rebuild those things while they're sitting there. Just change them. Right. But now you get to the point of, okay, you have to undo that connection between the wheel cylinder and brake line, which hasn't been undone since 1993.
Right.
So that's going to be a bit of a chore for me because I'm going to try, and I don't like using heat. I don't like using the flame. Yep. I tried that once before on the big old Chrysler, which almost turned into a disastrous result. So I'm going to try the inductor, but now it's just a question of how do you get an inductor around a fixed line with a nut?
Okay. You use one of the generic lines, and you kind of bend it yourself is what you do.
Yes. You have a wrapped twirled line and you separate the twirl and you fit that in.
Exactly.
In between the line. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, because this to me was worse than a frozen brake bleeder. Mm-hmm. How is the wheel cylinder attached to the backing plate? Does it have two? It does have two, like that, in that case, it'd probably be two head bolts, right? Okay.
Yeah,
because on those godforsaken GM G bodies, they use, someone got the idea, like, let's save money on the hardware, and they use this spring steel wave round. It's like a washer clip that you have.
Yes,
there's a special tool for it. We bought the tool, didn't work. I sent you a picture of a tool I made to bleed those brakes. It's literally
love it
5/16 socket that I fit into the closed end of a wrench.
Yes.
That'll get it because it's so deep. So good. As long as you don't have that, you're fine.
Two bolts. But I would love to discuss some, you know, we discuss Armorall and the joys of Armorall, that type of product. But there's another product that I find that's even more disappointing, and that is PB Blaster.
Okay.
That stuff is, to me, it's a wish product. You just wish it works. Please work. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, I've used PB Blaster on 99%. All the 99% of things I've used it on have never broken anything free.
Okay.
I've been so down on it lately. It evaporates. I went out there. I figured, okay, I got some time. I'll go out there and I'll spray it with PB Blaster and it'll soak and you believe what it says on the can. And then, you know, go in the house. I come back out later that evening. I look at it. It's evaporated. I'm like, how could this stuff actually work? It doesn't stay on the bolt.
Right. Right.
So I'm a little miffed over that. Mm-hmm. It touched another nerve. PB Blaster. I've been spraying it with WD-40. I've been dumping regular motor oil on it just to keep it moist.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to try and go out there and crack it loose, see if I can pull that off. It's just it's crazy, and it's you're dealing with so many issues. You have the connection to the wheel cylinder, you have the connection to the tube, and of course you have 20 plus years worth of crud in there. Do you know what I actually did? I took a slot car oiler. You ever see those oilers that look like hypodermic needles? Mm-hmm. Very thin dispenser. I took one of those and tried to get that in there to get some of that light duty, that motor oil in there.
I'm going to say this. What I would do is scope out that piece of hard line that goes to the wheel cylinder. It probably goes... That car is that just the dead rear end.
Yes.
But it probably goes to a block, a brake block. Be ready to buy that piece of line because in the worst case, just freaking break the thing off and replace the piece of hard line.
I know.
Do both sides. Just do both.
I am, but I am going to do both sides.
Yeah, they get the
hose. Right. The hose is available. I can get the hose anytime. The hose is available. The line, it runs about a foot from, like you say, from the block to the wheel. I want to get the factory line. I don't want to bend. I don't want to bend.
Well, you can get one with pre-made ends that you can just fit in there. You know, there's something that's very close, you know.
Well, it's because it comes down. It does a nice flip over the swing axle and then runs. It runs perfectly right where it's supposed to be. Why can't I find it? Because I've been looking. I cannot find the factory brake lines. That car. We're talking about, like you say, a foot long. That's all it is. It's a foot long. Because that was what my fear was. I'm like, oh, I'm going to snap this line. I'm going to have to run it all the way to the front of the car. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. The axle moves. There's a rubber hose here separating the two. So it's got to terminate somewhere.
So it does.
Right at the front of the rear suspension, it does.
Right.
But that's my next endeavor. And I don't want to break the line. I don't want to do it.
You may not find the factory line for that. I know, like, for Silverados, they're making factory lines because it's such a big problem, the later Silverados with the rear brake lines. But for that car, they may not. You know, and the dealer is going to laugh at you if you go in, you know.
Oh, forget it.
A Fiat dealership, see if you can find a line for a 93. Right. That's why I say a piece of pre-made line with the ends on it. You know, even if you have to put a little bit of a bend in it just so that it fits the space, is really, you know, maybe your best bet.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. If I do snap the line, I'm going to have to probably go that way. The funny thing was when I bought the lines for the big Chrysler, and I wanted to get a certain amount of lines, and they wouldn't sell it that way. You had to buy the complete set for like $250. And I went, all right, fine. I'll just buy the complete set. And I was very glad I did because not only did I have to replace the rear lines, but as I was attaching the whole affair to the main line, that broke.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And now I'm like, well, I'm glad I ordered the whole set now because I got it in a box on the rafters.
Yeah.
So I was able to take that down, undo it, and put the whole, which was great on the big Chrysler, the whole.
Mike.
The whole thing went in. I think we're getting checked.
I believe so.
The whole line ran from the front to the back along under the driver's door, so it worked perfectly.
Right.
And yes, the mic works, by the way.
Yes. All right. So I think we have a mic check that works. Is that Mark with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing Mark? Well. How are you?
You're on with really Ray good. Guarino and Chris Switzer on Motormouth Radio. It's a pleasure to have you on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yes. You know, when I told Chris the Sunday after the Thursday where you were on Plane in Traffic that I'd seen you and what you did with the magazine, he almost jumped off his chair over there. Loved so you got a built-in – I mean, we're all fans, but Chris, it was really – really went nuts.
Mark, I am so excited to speak with you about reviving Cartoons Magazine. I mean, I think I can speak for every – person that's an auto fight that walks upright and is able to read knows what Cartoons is, right. Knows what the magazine was, and just to hear that you've decided to go and revive such a thing is just monumental. I love it. How did it happen? When did you turn around and go, I think I can do this?
Well, about 5 years ago, I found out that the trademark was abandoned for about 4 months, right. And I applied for the trademark and got it. And then after going through the whole process of finalizing it, I had to make the deal sealed. I had to do something with it. So right. I had no experience in publication or any of that stuff. So I had to do a lot of researching and learning and asking for advice. And then we went full board production starting the beginning of 2016. And we've been doing it ever since. So we're still going strong.
Son of a gun. Now, do you have some of the same artists that were in the old publication? Or are you completely reviving? Are you reviving this in a different style, should I say? Or is 'cause this is all new to me. This is all new to me, and I'm asking the simple questions, I guess, here.
Yeah. Well, like, when the word got out that I wanted to bring it back to print, a lot of the original artists approached me and wanted to be part of it again. And so we're about 50-50 with our artists. About half of them are original artists, and then half of them are new artists that grew up on the magazine, so...
How about the original artists? Who did you bring back, and what are the cartoons?
The biggest one would have to be George Trosley, that everybody remembers the most because of Crash and Bernie, right. All those comic strips, and Learn How to Draw. And he's been in it since we started. And then we had Fred Boatman for a while, and then unfortunately he had passed away. Oh. And we have Bob Harding. Joe Boyer, I'm gonna forget some bunch of names, but yeah, and they've
what
been
the,
big
what are the car- what are the cartoons that they have done for the magazine?
Well, I pretty much do a variety of everything. I want to focus on all types of car culture and that, so we're not right. specific on one thing. I try to avoid modern stuff because, you know, like. We deal with it every day. Who wants to read it in a magazine? You know what I mean? So we focus on the nostalgic of all car cultures and that. And you'll see some odd new stuff, like something that's really popular that's happening right now and that. So, yeah, we try and cover everything in the automotive industry.
The interesting thing that you're doing, Mark, that I find is you're getting people from current shops and TV shows like the Martin Brothers and Richard Rawlings and guys like that, and you're featuring them on the magazine on the cover and inside, which I think it's fantastic. Talk about keeping it contemporary. That's how do you do it? How do you get into contacts?
You know what? The best place that I get all these contacts is SEMA, because everybody's at SEMA, and everybody that I meet there read cartoons. Bunch of them would say that they are who they are today because of cartoons that inspired them in the automotive industry or as an artist or whatever. Like one of our biggest supporters would be the Martin Brothers. So Joe Martin, he totally grew up on cartoons. He's an illustrator. He learned to draw from cartoons and that. So yeah. Joe and Amanda have been amazing. And then everybody else from Martin Brothers have been amazing too. And then Chegg, of course, from the show. So,
right.
So it seems everybody that I reach out to, they totally want to be a part of it because, you know, it's something different. It's a comic book for the automotive enthusiast, right? So it's fun. It's got humor, all that good stuff.
I have to say the only other magazine, I mean, you know, I would love to be a part of that even though I don't have the credibility to do it, but you know, it's like, you know, cause I don't fit, but the only other magazine of that sort that I would find as that would be as jazzed about would be Mad Magazine.
Right.
You know, it's to me, it's of that caliber of cultural significance, if you will.
Yeah. It would be Mad Magazine is for cartoons. I would say is the automotive version of Mad Magazine. That's the best way to describe it. Even though we keep the politics out of cartoons.
Right.
Cause that's, something yeah. I steer completely away from. So.
Smart man.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and what's great smart. Too is what makes it an actual challenge is I try and have the content for all ages. So the young generation can buy it and read it just like a lot of us did growing up. But the challenge there is to make the comic strip have that humor that has family-friendly content while still entertaining the adult. So, and we've been doing it for 5 years. So,
What's your lead time on a publication? How much lead time do you have in behind the scenes work before it gets published?
Well, we publish every 2 months, so it's a bi-monthly magazine. I give the artists about a month and a half to do the content that they're given to do on the, each artist has a different amount of pages to do. So they would do the rough and send me the rough for approval. Cause I want to make sure that it is family friendly or if it could use a little sprucing in the story, I'll give my opinion in that. And then once everything's approved, then they have to have everything finished and emailed for editing about, I'd say 2 to 3 weeks before we go to print. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Is there a lot of editing that has to be done? Or, I mean, these guys are all pros, obviously. So,
Yeah, they're pros. I have two editors that, because it's better to have two people viewing, because, you know, you're going to get the honest spelling error or grammar or something like that. But then it's tough too, because when these artists are creating these characters and say if that character has that kind of accent or whatever, so the spelling is spelt wrong for that reason to get that vibe of that character. So we have to consider that when we're trying to edit and spelling errors and all that stuff. So,
And how many cartoons are there in one magazine as far as how many different themes, different cartoons are there in Cartoons Magazine?
Well, we got 64 pages. We have little ads. We do have some ad pages in it, but I steer away from filling the whole magazine with ads. I do not want that. Nice. Which is better too for if anybody wants to advertise, they're not stuck in with 50 million other ads, you know what I mean? Right. And I would say about as many stories. I don't know. I'm going to say probably about half of that. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we add little entertainment in there, like stuff that they never did in the classic cartoons. We have one page, spot the difference. You'll have two images, try and figure out which one's different than the other. We have, we call it crossword puzzle instead of crossword.
Right.
So, I'm already thinking like with spot the difference, it's like, hey, wait a minute, he's holding a half-inch wrench, not a 9/16 wrench.
Yeah. So we add a little entertaining stuff like that than just strictly comic strips. So, yeah, we try and do what we can.
Yeah. Mark, what was your background? How did you, I'm just curious how different a world you lived in before you got into this.
Well, I've been your typical gearhead since birth because my father was. Mm-hmm. And so I've done all the car shows, the rod runs, all that growing up. And so, of course, it was in my blood. And I remember it was in 1983, we went to a store locally, and it was like a they had specialty magazines like all other stores never had. And I seen on the shelf Cartoons magazine. And I remember the issue. It had, it was a Sean Carey cover. And so I asked to get that issue. My parents bought it for me and I was hooked. So every 2 months I'd go back to that store up until 1991 when I'd go back and there was nothing there. And the store owner had no clue like why there was no new issues. And that was around the time when they stopped publishing. So,
right.
Mm. Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, that sure is. Yeah. Because it has been a fixture for all of our lives. Just it was always, the funny thing was it was always there. Anytime you walked into a newsstand or anything like that in our early days, it was always there. You always picked it up and it was always within reach. And then one day it wasn't. And yep. I guess, you know, you kind of turn around and go, hey, wait a minute. After a couple of years ago, whatever happened to Cartoons magazine?
Yeah, it's well, like just like the size 31 pants you wore in high school, just like the long hair you had. You know, I mean, I could go on and on, Chris. You're taking me down a bad road here, buddy. Let me tell you. Yeah. I'm not enjoying this.
Well, unlike that bad road, at least this part of the road is coming back to us.
Yes.
Well, it surprises me that they stopped print because everyone I talked to today, that magazine had a big part of them being an automotive enthusiast today. And it was a big part. And if it wasn't for Cartoons, you know, that the automotive industry wouldn't be making the money like they are now. I'm not saying Cartoons is the only reason, but it had a big part of it. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Because at those times, the kids growing up, that's Cartoons got them into the car industry. So.
Sure. Well, I tell you what we're going to do. It's about an hour. We're going to take a break so we can reestablish and take care of some spots. You know, and people, if you want to call in this format, you can call and speak with Mark. You can call at 516-256-9510 and speak with the man himself. Chris, do we have an honor group of the hour today?
You bet we do, Ray. The Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you took your car and driven in a slow parade any time within the last couple of months, you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. You know, with those painted signs and the streamers and some kids screaming out the sunroof. And now that's all that stuff that you put onto your windows is now all run off and onto your paint. And you got to re-wax the whole thing. Well, you're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. So take the slow parade. And we got a lot more coming your way with Mark Methot and Cartoons Magazine. Right, Ray?
All right, yes, we're going to be out of here. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back again at 516-256-9510. And you can stay tuned and come back for more Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and Mark Methot on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside. We remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose the shop where you have your car fixed. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, including 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with rental car arrangements if needed. We're considered an essential business and are still open, providing touchless drop-off and pickup services. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, you are back with Motormouth Radio, your hosts Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and special guest Mark Methot from Cartoons Magazine. Mark, yes. I had a question. You're up in Canada now, right? You're in the Great North.
Yeah, I'm central Canada, just above the Minnesota border in a place called Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Okay.
Wow.
So I'm in the middle of nowhere.
I was going to say, this is, you know, it sounds so unlikely, like someone that of your like in the middle of nowhere, like you say, would how did you find the name that was, it was not in service? How did you, what made you actually look for it? What made you put the two together? I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah, do you search like the dead trademark?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm curious.
Well, I was off work from a neck injury, and so I did a lot of surfing on the internet. And thank God for the internet for everybody, because we're all connected.
Sure.
And I can't remember the exact details of me coming across this broker trademark website. But when I was on it, I was just searching through the website, checking out all nostalgic trademark brands. And there was one I filed for when I came across. It was toys from the 80s. It was called Mask. And I remember I grew up with those toys. They were like a model-sized car, and they would transform into military-type vehicles. Back in the 80s, they had a cartoon series on it and everything. So it was pretty big with like He-Man and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I filed for that because I had this crazy brain idea that I would make a proposal and license it to toy companies because, you know, the old-school toys are very hot these days.
Sure.
And after a week, it came back that Hasbro actually filed for it 4 days before I did.
Uh-huh.
And so they're doing something major with that brand. And so I couldn't get my money back. It was credited. So I went major soul searching for really old school trademarks and cartoons I came across, and it was available. So that's what amazing. I put my credit towards. And next, you know, boom, I heard.
You know, I'm just thinking, like, to get a trademark for the Hulk, you know, for something that you could paint on your car is one thing. But you were basically investing in a career. You not only got the trademark, you now had it. I mean, you could have obviously done nothing with it and just painted it on your car. But you chose to take that and recreate it to what it was in the past, which is, I think, far beyond what a lot of people may have done, which is very commendable.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure
yeah,
is.
I tell you, it's been a lot of work. And with the trademark, like, you have to prove that you're doing something with it. So I couldn't just sit on it and just have it. So that's where it took me to the next steps to let's do this. Let's bring it back to print. And the support was there online when people were finding out I wanted to bring it back. So
was there a point where you said, oh, my Lord, what did I get myself into?
Every day.
Okay. You know, how about, you know, my mind wanders like it always does. And I'm thinking of, you know, our friend Clay, and he does a lot of stuff with tool truck videos. Have you ever, here's my pitch, you know, like maybe a cartoon with tool guys, like, you know, the Snap-on truck, the Matco truck, or if you have, you know, another dealer up in your area that we don't have, maybe incorporate something like that, because all the car guys use tools, and we are many of us, I should say, are tool junkies and tool addicts. Yes, I go to the meetings, I know. I know I would find that interesting.
So, well, that's the thing. The old cartoons had like very, very, very little advertising in it, and I wanted to bring a little bit more in because that's what keeps magazines alive, if people know that. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to bring an option, which I have, like if somebody advertised on the back cover or the back inside cover, which is one of our higher priced ad spots, that in the following issue, we would take that company that advertised and put like a company or a product placement in the comic strip itself. So then now their company becomes the entertainment to the readers. So
okay,
that's pretty slick.
I was thinking of doing it the other way, trying, like, you know, find, get the guys to say, okay, you're using the images of a cartoon, and then you hit them up for sponsorship afterwards. But yeah, either way, I guess would work. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Mark, did you ever have, you said you have a bunch of a collection of old artists and new artists. How does a new artist, how would a new artist get in touch with you? Or do you accept that sort of thing? Or do you have to go vet them out first? Like, can a new artist send you something and say, hey, what do you think of this? Can that happen?
Well, through our website, you're able to email me. And I've had multiple artists for the last 5 years emailing me wanting to be a part of Cartoons. The first thing I would ask, because a lot of there's a lot of artists out there that are mind-blowing amazing.
Yeah, but
when it comes to storytelling and comic strips, that's a total different realm.
Right.
And not every artist can do that.
Right.
And that's basically what we're looking for, is an artist that can entertain our readers than just regular illustrations. But as of right now, with our budget, because we're still trying to grow, I'm just working with the artists we have. But once we get to our budget goals, we'll definitely be looking at new artists that want to be a part of Cartoons and try them out, et cetera. So.
No, you're right. It is very difficult to encapsulate a thought, make it funny, and do it within a certain amount of panels. It is, it's an art. It is a technique. I've tried it. It's hard. So I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
It's kind of like trying to make a radio show entertaining in an hour.
Yes.
You rely on your guests, you know.
Also, too, is like if I'm out at a show or whatever, I'm always listening to conversations, and then I try and implement those into comic strips. And I'll give a good example.
Sure.
I'm going to say it was 2 years ago. I was at SEMA, and Gene Winfield was telling this story, and I was listening in on the story, and I'm like, why does nobody know about this story?
Mm-hmm.
So after I approached him and I asked him, I said, do you mind if I turn this into a comic strip, into Cartoons? And he said, no, fine, go ahead. Like, that would be great. So that was back. We did that in issue 16. And try and make a long story short, he was talking about back in, I think it was 1968. He said he remembers he was sitting at his shop, and in the middle of his shop, he had two reclining chairs. And so that was his spot, like you could go and sit down and relax or whatever. And he said he was sitting there, and then he heard a car pull up, and in walks in Steve McQueen.
Ooh.
And Steve McQueen jumps over this couch, sits down, and he said, he told Gene, he said, I'm here because we're working on a movie right now, and we need a star car for the movie. So I want to see what you can do to help us out to get this star car. So Gene said, well, give me some time and I'll figure something out. So I think Steve McQueen went back about a week later, and Gene Winfield had rounded up a dozen 68 Camaros. But they were the six-cylinder base model Camaros. So Steve McQueen took one, and he went for a ride, and he came back and threw the keys at him and said, we need more power, we need better handling, like, this is not what I want. So Steve McQueen left Gene Winfield's shop, went down the road to a Ford dealership, and ordered an olive green Mustang for the movie Bullet.
Wow. Wow.
So, in other words, it was almost a Camaro that was the star car for Bullet.
Yeah, that's a great story.
And nobody knows this story. I'm like, why does nobody know this story?
Right,
yeah.
That's a good story. Because Gene never told it.
No. So I had to put in a comic strip, and that's
great.
16. Yeah.
I can see people thinking that was fiction, you know? That's great.
Yeah.
Mark, do you have any older cars of your own? What do you you cruise around Canada with anything cool?
Well, I have a lot of classic projects. I'm starting to liquidate. Like, I got a 1950 Metro, International Metro Van Dooley. I was going to do that up as like a tour van, but I don't have time for that or the money, so I'm selling that. I got a 56 DKW Auto Union Schnellester.
What is that?
It is an extremely rare van that was from Germany. And it was, back then, it was Volkswagen's competition.
Right.
And so I have that, this oddball, and I'm selling that. I got a few others. But then my my driver, I got a 50 Plymouth, which is chopped, it's shaved, it's bagged. So it sits on the ground. It's got the white walls and the chrome reverse rims and all that good stuff. So
nice.
Wow. Yeah,
that's my baby.
That's cool.
Very cool. I like that. And that's your daily driver?
No.
I was going to say, whoa, that would be quite a daily driver.
You know, I may know someone who may be interested in that first vehicle, the van, because actually Mike at the shop stopped by the house the other night with two of his buddies, and they said, hey, we're going to get involved in a new project, and we want your one to run it by you. And we said, okay, what do you got? And they were thinking about building a van, you know, like a 60s, 70s street van. And I said, yeah, I'm all in. You know, I lived through it, so I saw all the craziness. So I'll have to run out and buy them.
Oh, yeah, no, sure. a revival of cartoons is great. Now a revival of the Passion Wagons now?
Right.
A revival of vans now? Oh, my gosh.
I never know.
The 70s are coming back in vogue.
Everything old is new again.
That's for sure. Hey, Mark, is there any artists that you favor? Can you bring like someone that makes you laugh in the magazine or even not in the magazine?
You know what? I love them all, so I can't pick a favorite. They all done amazing jobs on creating their own stories and just coming through and entertaining our readers, and that's I'm completely happy with that. So
right.
Do you want to take a phone call?
Yeah, let's do that, please.
Let's do it. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun. Let's say hi. You're on with the Motormouths and Mark Mithot.
Hey, Mark, Chris and Ray, happy Independence Day to you guys.
Hey.
What's up, Bob?
What's up?
Yep, this is Bob from Rockwell Center. Hey, Mark, that was a great story with the Ford and Camaro. Holy cow. Mm. Well, whoever would have thought of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why when he had told that story, I'm like, that needs to be, everybody needs to know that story, because that's like some major history, especially with an iconic movie like The Bullet. So,
yeah.
It's something I will never forget. It's something I never heard.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, even from the Ford guys, you know, even guys, even our friends who run Mustangs, they never shared that story. I never heard that story. Killer. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you ever meet Gene Winfield in person, definitely ask him, and he'll give you the full detailed story of it. He loves to tell stories.
I'm sure.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing that. There's also a feature on Long Island you can use to entertain your guests. It could be Tom Tom, and Chris and Ray will tell you about that. I think it would be a great addition to the magazine.
Right.
One of the features is men go to the garage and open up the refrigerator door and take out a cold beer.
Right.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Happy Independence Day, gentlemen.
Awesome. Right, Mark.
Happy Independence Day to you.
Thanks, Bob. Right. Thanks for the call. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I wish you guys well.
Same here.
Thanks, you Bob. Too.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Bob. And the Tom he's referring to is another one of our callers, Tom from Massapequa, who usually calls after Bob, and then they both have to crack cold beers in celebration of each other, which is cool.
And so, speaking of which, the phone is ringing. Let's go to the phones, to the fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths and Mark Mithot from Cartoons Magazine.
Hey, this is Tom from Massapequa, guys. Good morning.
What a surprise.
Hiya, Tom.
Listen, I love this guy from Canada. That story about Steve McQueen is great. I have a couple of thoughts. One, can you guys elaborate, and maybe he knows about it, was a scene from a movie film from the Nassau County Jail to Modell's where it drove in the trailer? Was that Bullet? They drove into the... They escaped?
Go ahead. Honestly, I wouldn't have the answer to that. So.
I don't think so. Tom, you know, there's a piece of trivia floating in my head that resonates with, and I don't know if you've brought it up in the past or someone else did, but I can't put a movie to it, but that does sound familiar to me. But I'm sure it wasn't Bullet. That was
that was a
West Coast crew that did that movie.
Yeah,
that did. Well, the other thing is, could we connect, or can you connect, would it make sense to connect this gentleman with with, what's his name, Andy from the Autozeum. Maybe he has some stories that could convert.
Oh, he's got stories, all right. That's for sure.
Well, yeah. Mark, what I think Tom is alluding to is there's, you know, you talk about overhearing conversations and developing basic cartoons from them. Yeah. If you ever took a trip to Long Island,
yeah,
this area is rich in characterization.
Oh, yes.
And there are a boatload of stories. And oh, yeah, stuff we've heard over the years that I wish I had a sketch pad and yeah, started drawing, because it would be monumental and probably quite a humorous boost to the magazine itself.
Absolutely.
Stories are great.
It is. There's a lot of it here. There's a ton of it here. So it is comical. But that, I think, is what Tom is alluding to. Right. Tom, thank you.
Yes, well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank
Always
you, Tom.
A pleasure. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That's great. Mark, we're running short on time now. Our hour is burning like the from last night. If you want to throw out any information, contact information, social media information to the listeners so they can find you, please do so.
Well, the easiest way is our website, which is www.cartoonsmeg.com. And on there you can subscribe to cartoons, you can subscribe print or digital. If you subscribe to print, you get digital access for free. We have all the back issues since we printed, some limited editions. We got stickers and shirts and hats and posters and everything, and also our links to all our social medias on our website too, so it makes it easier just to go there.
Great.
Yeah.
That is amazingly cool.
Well, Mark, we thank you for coming on with us. And
yeah, thank you for having me.
We're going to follow you along. Maybe we'll get you back on another Thursday night, and we'll and keep in touch. You have contact information. Yep. So if you ever have news you want to break, upcoming stuff, feel free to reach out, and we will we'll help you out with that.
Well, I should mention that we're coming up to – we're about 2 months away. I created – it's called a sketch cover issue. And this is something that the comic book industry has been doing for about 8 years. And so you can buy this magazine and the cover is completely blank. It has the cartoons logo on it and everything. And it's printed on a type of paper where you can illustrate your own cover on the actual magazine. And you could do it in marker or pencil crayon or whatever you choose. And so we're having a contest right now that if you order this issue and as soon as you get it, you would illustrate what you would think the ultimate cover is and have it emailed to us by September 1st. And then we're going to have a contest and the winner will have their issue published on all newsstands of cartoons. So
wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That wow, you're giving me a challenge here, Mark.
Yeah.
You're giving me something to do in my spare time. That's fantastic.
Great, yeah.
I love it. Holy
yeah, it's
smokes.
Great because like a lot of artists, they would dream to be on a cover, and in reality we only do 6 issues a year, so it would be hard to accommodate everybody. And and with our artists that do the content, they get first dibs at covers, of course. So I figured this would be the great way that any artist out there can create their own cartoons cover and have the actual magazine in their hands. So it would be a one-off custom.
Is this the first time you're doing this, or have you done this before in the past?
No, this is the first time doing it. And like I said, I got the idea from the comic book industry because that's pretty huge in there too. So
cool.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's cool. That is so cool. Mark, it's been a pleasure. Love talking to you. This is really great, and you've brought back a childhood memory and an adolescent memory that I'm looking forward to picking up once again and start reading. I'm
100%
impressed. Yes,
yeah, as long as the support keeps coming and keeps growing, cartoons will be around for many more years. So
excellent.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Okay, Very Mark, cool. Thank you. We'll be in touch.
For sure. Thanks for your time.
Okay. So long.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Mr. Mark Methot from Cartoons Magazine, and I can see pencils flying already.
Yeah, exactly. I want to start drawing.
Yeah.
I want to pick it up and start drawing once again. That's going to be fantastic. Sure. Because that's, I mean, I had my, before we did a radio show, I had a comic strip.
Uh-huh.
And it was in a local paper. And I did that for about a year. And it was tough. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to pull off, to come up with the main idea, to do it with a certain amount of panels.
Some of them framed. Framed and hanging in place.
That's right, because I did a caricature of you.
You did too.
That's right.
I have the other one upstairs.
That's right. I'm surprised you were able to access it. But then again, I'm really not surprised.
No, shouldn't be surprised.
But yeah, it was something, it was a passion that I've done. And unfortunately, I just haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, it takes time.
It does. But yeah, if you want to call us, our phones are open for a couple of minutes. I don't know if that's okay.
It's close. Yeah, that we'll be getting out of here in another couple of minutes.
516-256-9510. We can't get a call from Tom because he already called us.
That's right. And we're still working on. We have a few guests that are up in the clouds.
Yeah, who's up in the clouds?
Yeah, you know, there's always people up. We have Davin from Haggerty, who does the series. What's his name? Tony D'Agostino from Tony's Parts in Delaware, who's hanging on the line. Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars is going to come back on. And others. Et al. There's always others out there, so we just have to. It's scheduling. It's everybody's scheduling that gets in the way. So we just kind of freeform it, and that's why we we come across people like Mark from Playing Traffic, because that's a rich source of information.
That is.
You know, we grab them while we can, because if we can have them, yeah, we do it.
No, it's true, and I'm really, really glad that you do that show. And the funny thing is, it's been in direct conflict with my schoolwork. Sure. So I can't get the time to get up online to join you guys, but I will.
And what's better is after the first hour where the guest is on, Lewis Lee goes, because he has to get up early for work, and he kicks the show over to me, usually Chassis John, Matt Goman, Brian, and we do another hour of our own, kind of like we do here. We just do another hour there. So
right. So well, we used to call it, when we were doing the show in the studio, we used to call it the parking lot show. It was the after show. Right. And we would all gather up our stuff after the show, hand the studio off to the next jock, and then we were off and running and sitting in the parking lot. And a lot of times we sat in the parking lot with the guests or without the guests. Sometimes we met people in the parking lot. It was always a free-for-all. It was always a party after the radio show. And sometimes I miss those the most, because here we are in our own separate studios and we don't get a chance to do that.
I tell you what, Thunder Road is coming up. So, Chris, tell people what to do.
Don't follow us home and read Car Talk Magazine.
All right, we're going to be out of here right now. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, we'll be back next week on Motor Mouth Radio. See ya.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside. We remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose the shop where you have your car fixed. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, including 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with rental car arrangements if needed. We're considered an essential business and are still open, providing touchless drop-off and pickup services. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.